Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you didn't get over there yesterday to check it out, swing on by there today, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. For some reason, Mr. Fantasy doesn't, but Dan and I really do. Of course, don't forget there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, now, Dan, I forgot about this yesterday while we were talking about baseball, and I can understand why, because it's just incredibly stupid. But, apparently, MLB is reportedly, as the term here uses, kicking around an idea that will change the way the ninth inning is played. All right, it appears that what they're talking about is the losing team would be able to plug anybody they wanted into the ninth spot, no matter if that player is in the lineup or not. Now, obviously, you know, we see in the National League where, you know, if the pitcher's down there, well, he gets pinch hit for. So, you know, that's no big deal. But, you know, in this case, we're talking – you know, anybody in the lineup whatsoever. So say you have, you know, the bases loaded and there's two outs and you come to your nine hitter, you know, the Cincinnati Reds could go, okay, well, we want Joey Votto to hit, even though he's four hitters away or three hitters away from where he would normally hit.
I mean, but doesn't that only work in the National League?
No, you know, they're planning on doing it. You know, they haven't really said, you know, either way, but, you know, you've got to think, you know, can you do it? Can you only do it in one league because they have a pitcher?
I mean, I guess your worst batter is batting ninth, but, you know, what if, with today's game, your best hitter is batting first.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, this is one of those things where if that rule could come in, you know, conceivably, Chris Bryant could hit ninth, and then one other guy could hit, and Chris Bryant could come up and hit again.
I mean, that doesn't even make any sense.
No, I mean, this is something that you think of when you're a little kid playing in the backyard with your friend and, you know, you're going through the batting order and, you know, you realize that you're coming up to your nine spot and you need somebody up. You go, oh, yeah, I'm going to plug this guy in here. You know, however that works out. You know, not something that Major League Baseball should actually do. I mean, this is just incredibly stupid, and it almost seems like, you know, they're trying to punish the team that has gotten the lead. You know, it's like, well, here's your punishment, you know. And then what I don't understand is, how the hell do you adjust the records? You know, I mean, because, you know, in reality, a lot of guys, you know, you get four at-bats a game, or if the game's rolling, you get five. You know, this guy could get six at-bats or seven at-bats in a game. You know, what do you do if it's a big power guy and he gets close to that home run record? Does he get an asterisk because he's getting extra at bats to do it?
I guess if he goes over the 700 mark, he would.
So, yeah, and then oddly, apparently the MLB executive, this was apparently leaked to Rich Eisen. I don't know why the hell you tell Rich Eisen when basically he spends most of his time on the NFL Network, but maybe this executive thought it was safe. Used an incredibly stupid quote here for this. It says, the best argument is that no other sport has its best players sitting on the bench in the final minutes of the game. He said, imagine LeBron James, Tom Brady, or Sidney Crosby, or Ronaldo watching from the sidelines. Okay, well, stupidly, you know, Tom Brady can easily be on the sidelines if the other team has the football, moron. So, you know, and all those, there's reasons all those other guys could be out of the game. You know, LeBron could foul out. It might not be Crosby's line, or, you know, Ronaldo could have got red carded. So I don't know who the executive is, but obviously he's incredibly stupid and doesn't deserve a job with Major League Baseball. So. But yeah, there's a new rule for us, Dan. I got to tell you, if they start doing this stuff, man, I mean, I'm to the point where, you know, if they start, imagine, here you go, Dan, here's the new rule. The team's losing. not only do they get to start the inning with a runner on second, but now they can bat anybody in the ninth spot. So there you go.
I mean, well, wouldn't a tanking team not want to do that, though? I guess that's what I want.
No, yeah, I mean, obviously. Yeah.
You know, like you said, if it's the Cubs.
Right, yeah, I mean, there's no reason for, you know, like we could use the White Sox last year or what appears to be the Pirates this year, you know, the Rays or the Marlins. I mean, why the hell would they even use this rule? You know, I mean, the Rays are an American League team. They'd probably rather have their pitcher bat just to get the game over and take the loss, you know, so they can just move a little higher up to, you know, those draft picks. So, but yeah, I just, here we're worried about pace of play and we got to deal with all this BS. And then, you know, they leak in a bunch of stupidity to, you know, just try to come up with God only knows what. I don't know, you know, what the hell they were thinking or anything like that. So.
Well, I mean, why even have a batting order?
Right. You should just be able to put whoever you want up there. Kind of like hockey shootouts in the Olympics. You can send whoever you want out on the ice. Doesn't matter who it is. Send anybody out as many times as you want. You know, I remember that one year TJ Oshie took like 8 or 10 shootout shots or something. He was like the only American to do it. Just do that. You only need one good hitter. Send him up the bat every time and, you know, then just put runners on base for him. So, you know what I mean? Obviously, what they didn't go into detail is if this guy hits in the nine spot, was the guy who was originally in the nine spot, is he now out of the game? Or when that batter gets on, does he get to run for him? You know, I mean, should he stand in the opposite batter's box and run when the guy hits the ball? You know, is that what we're going to get to now?
Well, no, that'll be the new DH role.
Yeah. So, you know, to keep older players in the game long, we're going to have players stand next to them and, you know, run down the bases for them. Yeah, I just, you know, like I said, I completely, you know, you can understand why I completely forgot about it yesterday because it was just incredibly stupid. But yeah, there's another genius Major League Baseball idea that we get to look forward to talking about. So I'm really surprised this wasn't Brian Kenny's idea because he's one of the few guys who are big enough idiots to think this is a good idea. You know, Dan, I know exactly what they're going to say. Oh, it's going to add so much excitement to the game. You know, you're going to get to see. And they're, you know, they're going to use all Yankees and Red Sox, you know, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and JD Martinez come up with the game on the line. And, you know, it's going to be so much more exciting than seeing, you know, Ronald Torres or Brock Holt hit in that position. Yeah, not buying it, idiots. So, you know, because God forbid they could come up with, you know, the only West Coast guy that could ever come up with would be Mike Trout. So, But yeah, that's my stupidity for today. I don't know about you, but that's mine.
I mean, they might as well just bring every game to New York and Boston.
Yeah, well, I think they try to do that anyways, don't they? So.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Dan, you know, while I'm speaking about stupidity, let's talk about the Tampa Bay Rays. You know, they made one of the strangest moves, you know, any team has made it in I don't know how long. You know, they made a trade with the Angels to get CJ Cron because they needed a first baseman. But for some reason, to make room on their roster, they decided that Corey Dickerson would be the guy that they designated for assignment. Now, by designating him, it gave them 3 days to either trade, or excuse me, 10 days to either trade or release him. You know, and I'm not really surprised they found a trading partner. What I am a little surprised by is the fact that the trading partner they found were the pretty much tanking Pittsburgh Pirates. So let me get the official deal notes here so I can get this correct. Yes, the Pirates acquire Corey Dickerson in exchange for reliever Daniel Hudson, minor league infielder Tristan Gray, and cash. So, you know, that kind of works out. Now, you know, Dan, Dickerson was an all-star last year, played in 150 games for Tampa, hit 282 with 27 bombs and 62 RBIs, you know, on a team that was barely, you know, a little sub 500. I think they were 80 and 82. You know, probably the best overall year of his career. He has had better average years other places. I still don't understand why he was DFA'd, but we'll never know that because they, you know, I guess they just wanted to save the $6,000 or whatever. You know, but you know, why the Pirates, Dan? You know, this team's going to win 70 games. Why did they jump in?
So that they could trade him for more?
Yeah, maybe. You know, who knows? Now, you know, in return they get Hudson is a, oh, probably what you would call a below average setup guy, but he can pitch almost every day. 71 appearances for the Pirates last year. He was 2-7 with a 4.38 ERA. So they, you know, they didn't have to give up, you know, a ton to get him. Tristan Gray is a 21-year-old middle infielder who looks like he spent, yeah, 53 games at low A in West Virginia where he hit 269 with 7 homers and 37 RBIs, but, you know, he had a solid fielding percentage. He only made 1 error at second and 4 at short. So, you know, I guess, he, you know, he looks like he's a pretty good defender. I, you know, obviously if he ever makes it to the majors, we won't see him for probably 4 or 5 years. But, yeah. So that's where Corey Dickerson ends up in a Pirates uniform. So he went from one tanking team to another.
Yeah, but they could use him for more prospects.
Yeah, well, you know, if he hits like he did last year, maybe. You know, I mean, it was interesting. I was kind of curious on why, you know, Arizona didn't go that route instead of, you know, the move they made yesterday, grabbing your guy Souza from the Rays. You know, I mean, they're, you know, they were very similar, except I believe Dickinson is left-handed. So, you know, I don't know. But, you know, hey, they're both gone. Sadly, Tampa's going to suck. You know, they were kind of that under-the-radar team that was always fun to root for because for some reason they always did well, even though they didn't have a ton of marquee players, just a guy here or a guy there. Now the only reason to watch them is once every 5 days when Chris Archer starts.
Yeah, but you forget they were that good because Sean Madden was their coach.
Well, no, he wasn't their coach last year, and they were fun to watch.
Yeah.
So, just one of those you know, one of those teams. So.
Oh, don't forget that
you know, not
and Christian Arroyo.
Yeah, he was hurt all last year. Have they said if Arroyo's even going start major leagues yet, or is he going to is he gonna start at AAA so they don't have to pay him?
Well, don't forget they have Danny Echevarria that they picked up from the Marlins, who's a shortstopper. Who was much older.
Yeah. Let's see what we have depth chart-wise here for them. According to the MLB.com, they have Duffy starting at third, Echevarria starting at short, with Arroyo as a backup in both spots. What I did not remember, now that I see it, I remember, they picked up Ryan Shrimp from the Padres as well. So he will be a backup infielder. For some reason, they have Daniel Robertson as the starting second baseman. I don't know. This is an incredibly poor representation of what's going to go on now. But they did plug your guy, Denard Span, in as the starting left fielder. I know how much you love him.
Well, it's funny because I was looking at it, and you've got Kiermaier, Malik Smith, and Denard Span, who are all slotted for center field.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is, in reality, they are all three center fielders, but they're, you know, two of them are going to have to play the corner because those guys are both gone now. So, you know, just how it's going to have to work out. And then Brad Miller is listed as the DH, with, of course, CJ Krohn is going to get a chance to play every day for a change. Talk about a team, you know, in an age where power is everything. I don't know if this team has a guy who's going to hit 25 home runs. You know, they may not have a guy hit 20. No, he's not a power guy. So
he hit 15 last year.
You know, I mean, yeah, well, that's, you know, that's not 20. That's, you know, that's a long stretch to get to 25. I mean, maybe Krohn with more at-bats gets to 25, or, you know, maybe Miller gets lucky. I know he's shown a little pop the longer his career is on. But, you know, like Wilson Ramos is the starting catcher. He's a solid power guy, but he's not great. You know, Denard Span and Malik Smith are going to have a tough time getting to 10. So, you know, I mean, I know Shrimp showed some power with the Padres, but he's not scheduled to play every day. You know, Duffy's not a big power guy. So, unless maybe Chris Archer gets some at-bats and he gets there as a dual position guy. So, but yeah, it's humorous, you know, in an age where power is everything and strikeouts don't matter. You know, it looks like the Rays are bucking the trend, and, you know, they're going to have a speed team that's not going to hit any homers.
Well, maybe they'll be inside the Parkers.
Yeah, they're going to have to be. So, you know, because Malik Smith ain't taking anybody deep. I don't think he could take you deep.
He had two last year.
Yeah, and I think one of them was an inside the Parker. So here you go, Dan. I came across your next purchase. You're going to have to convince the wife of this one. But Major League Baseball is about to launch a virtual reality home run derby game that you can play from the comfort of your living room.
What do you need for it?
That's what I'm looking for. It says they're going to provide a sneak peek of it at the Sloan Sports Conference at MIT coming this weekend.
Cool.
The game is due this spring for PlayStation VR and is it Vive or Vive, V-I-V-E? It will allow gamers to hit three different MLB stadiums, but it doesn't. Yeah. Well, it looks like it, you know, like the start of the article says Wrigley or Fenway. They don't give the third one, but of course my guess would be Yankee Stadium because we know how these things are based. So yeah, I don't know. Would that be something that you would be interested in purchasing and playing in your living room?
No, maybe if it had all of them.
You know, no, yeah, sadly, I mean, I don't have a PlayStation VR, so I couldn't play it anyways. You know, there's no plans I would be buying one just to play this one game. So, but yeah, I'm sure, you know, it sounds like a cool idea. I mean, it sounds like it's something that would be really fun to do. But yeah, it's just not, you know, not for me really. It does not say the asking price right now, which is no surprise. So we'll have to wait and see as things go along how that goes. But yeah, next week we should get to see. You know, I'll probably forget about it by then, but you know. You know, now, you know, I didn't get to ask you about this yesterday. Obviously, you were gone for a little while. We were trying to catch up on the stuff that went on while you were gone, mostly signings and stuff. But there was a, you know, kind of a strange incident between Bryce Harper, obviously the Nationals outfielder, and Don Mattingly, the Marlins manager. I don't know. Did you catch any of this by any chance?
I really didn't look really deep into it, but I heard just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, what was odd is, you know, the gist of it was Harper was asked a question about the Marlins, obviously because, you know, they're in his division. They were the second place team last year. Granted, they were 20 games behind the Nationals, but, you know, they were still the second place team. And, you know, obviously they asked him about them basically cleaning out their roster. And, you know, Bryce Harper being Bryce Harper answered the questions candidly. You know, that's the one thing about the guy you got to love. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. So he was rough on them, just like you or I would be when you look at the team and, you know, they're setting up to lose 100 games. And, you know, Don Mattingly basically replied to him to take care of your own dugout. And, you know, like, I can understand Mattingly being a little upset because, you know, you don't want, you know, other players really commenting on your team's status and stuff. But is it Bryce Harper's fault for honestly answering a question that a reporter asked him? I mean, he didn't go out and solicit the response or anything. I mean, he was kind of goaded into it by a reporter. So should we take that into consideration before people start killing Harper for talking about another team?
Well, is it people or is it just Mattingly? Who is a little upset?
Well, you know, some of the
his only player is Starlin Castro.
Yeah, you know, some of the older guard was a little bothered by it. You know, some of the guys on MLB Network. You know, I mean, they didn't really trash Bryce Harper because obviously he's one of the great players in the game, and they would never do that. I mean, literally, he could light a car on fire in the, you know, the parking lot at spring training, and they wouldn't say anything bad about him just because he's one of those guys. Mike Trout could light six cars on fire, and there wouldn't be a problem with it. So yeah, you know, they were guarded with their responses, but you could tell they were a little bothered by it. And all I kept figuring out is, I mean, it's not like Bryce was taking the mic and going, "Oh, hey, look at what a joke the Marlins are. Look at what they did." No, he, you know, a reporter kind of led him that way and he answered the question. So yeah, I mean, I guess, are you bothered by it or does it bother you?
Not really. I mean, he's just saying what everyone else is thinking.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it felt like he lied. So, you know, I mean, you know, could you imagine what, you know, imagine, oh, yeah, if you'd went and said, yeah, well, you know, they're going to be tough competition. The general BS. It would have been cool if he said, well, we're going to take it one day at a time, you know. And give some of those really cool cliche answers. But no, he, you know, he told the truth, you know, and it's like, Donnie Baseball's upset with him.
Yeah, you know. Well, they were down
of course, this
Florida.
Was. Yeah, you know, this was before the Marlins added your guy Cameron Maybin, which I think automatically makes him a contender now, doesn't it?
Of course.
So. yeah, and then I saw more exciting news.
Well, from what I'm reading about what he said, he really didn't even say anything negative. He just commented that he was shocked that they pretty much let go of their entire outfield. And that he really thought they were just a couple of pitchers away from, you know, being pretty dang good, as he put it. So I don't know. And, I mean, personally, I think Mattingly just got really butthurt over the whole situation. Because he knows it's true. And, you know, that's why he's no longer the Dodgers manager anymore either.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to figure it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a rough year for Mattingly. You know, it's difficult to, you know, to try to manage a team that's, you know, set up to fail. You know, that's got to be tough on those guys. So.
Yeah, but you've got to start wondering by now. You know, he was a great player, but does that always translate into successful coaching? You know, I don't think many of us really heard of Mike Matheny a whole lot, you know, aside from...
I did.
Well, you know what I mean. Aside from being the catcher whose pitcher passed away and, you know, some of those things. But, you know, his grand fame really came out of coaching the World Series champion Cardinals.
Well, you know, Mattingly was a really good manager for the Dodgers. What I'm wondering if, you know, maybe he kind of fits into the stuff about what, you know, they were crying about with Dusty in Washington. Maybe he doesn't fit with the new school, you know, everybody gets a trophy, everybody's buddy type of player that there is today, because, you know, it wasn't like that when he played. You know, you didn't love everybody, and, you know, you wanted to win, and now, you know, everybody's kind of like, oh, yeah, hey, well, you know, we didn't win, but, hey, my buddy over there did, so congratulations to him. So.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but he's also got to realize that he's in a different game, and coming out and getting on Bryce Harper for what he said, which – he didn't even negatively comment on it. He said he put things in a lot lighter perspective than you and I would, and he got ripped for it by a butthurt coach who realizes he's going to be the Rick Renteria for the Marlins.
Wait, what are you saying? I don't put things in light perspective?
Well, I mean, you know, both of us, we're like, you know, if you would, obviously we're not getting asked, but if I played... I would have just flat out said, oh, I'm surprised they crapped on that team like that.
So you honestly think I would say something like that? That's hurtful. So.
Well, I would, so I kind of figure you would.
You know, that's just terrible. I can't believe you think I would be like that. I would be professional and, you know, say we're taking it one day at a time. You know.
Yeah. One base at a time, crossing all our T's and dotting our I's.
Yes. So, all right, Dan. Well, let's change gears here a little bit. How would you like some more changes to the NBA playoff format, Dan? This way we could make it just a little longer than what it already is, because I think that's what the NBA needs. What they're considering, Dan, is a college-style play-in tournament for the 7th and 8th seeds in the conference. Now, the funny thing is they put this out there without releasing any details because they haven't negotiated with the union or anything about this yet. This was just an idea they threw out there to see if it sticks. You know, while it's an interesting idea, A, Dan, I don't know if they need to add more teams to the playoffs where half the teams already make it. And B, do we really need the NBA season to run until July?
Well, isn't that the whole point? Get it to run up until the draft?
So, well, you know, at this point, they're going to be playing year-round. So, you know, I just don't get it. But yeah, apparently there are two proposals. Let's see if they have them both listed here. The one is, like I mentioned, it's a 2-14 tournament featuring the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th seed in each conference. 7th would host the 8th seed, with the winner of that game having the 7th spot. Meanwhile, the 9th seed would host the 10th seed, with the winner of that game facing the loser of the 7th and 8th matchup for the final playoff spot. So there you go. We've extended.
If it's only two games, you know, I wouldn't have an issue with it.
But you know how they like their days off in the playoffs. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that would give them an extra, you know, 2 days off.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they have the other tournament idea here. They do mention something about reseeding, but they've been talking about that for years. It looks like that's the only kind of idea there. But interestingly, and I think this falls kind of right into the Dan conspiracy theory. I'm trying to remember if we mentioned it yesterday that the NBA is actually serious about dropping conferences, keeping the four divisions, and having the best 16 teams make the playoffs. Oddly, Dan, LeBron James came out against us today.
What?
Why would LeBron come out against an idea that makes so much sense, Dan, unless he realizes how easy it is for him to make the finals because he's in the Eastern Conference? Oh, wow. Maybe he doesn't want to work that hard to where, you know, he could draw a Golden State or a Houston in the semifinals instead of running into them in the finals. I don't know. It sounds like the King is basically, maybe he's more Colonel Sanders than the GOAT.
I don't know. I mean, the way the NBA is, I don't even, what the hell's the point? I mean, you've already, there's four divisions, but I couldn't even tell you what the four names of the divisions are. I just know there's East and West.
So, yeah, that's because, you know, conference playing is done by, you know, playoff seeding is done by conference, you know, standings instead of divisions. The only thing, you know, the divisions have to do is the, you know, you get a bye or however you look at it. But just so you know, Dan, they are the Atlantic and the Central in the Eastern Conference. All right. And then they have, I hit the wrong one. Yeah, it's the Atlantic and the Central. And what is it? The Pacific and what do they call the Pacific? Other one? Why am I drawing a blank on what the other damn conference is called now? So now I'm gonna have
the desert.
It's bothering me. So now I gotta. Yeah, it should be. That's what it should be called. So I have to. I'm actually gonna use your favorite search engine here because it's bothering me so much. Atlantic and the Central. Oh, well, there's three. Atlantic, the Central, and the Southeast are in the, you know, in the Eastern Conference. And then there's the Northwest, the Pacific, and the Southwest in the that other side, the Western Conference.
See, I didn't even know there was three divisions.
Yeah, some reason I thought there were only four total. I didn't realize there were six, but that's what they are. So I don't think anybody cares if you drop those, right?
No, I mean, why even? What is the purpose?
Well, you know, the purpose is you're supposed to gain a top seed if you win your division. You know, like if you win your division, you're supposed to be one of the top three seeds. But the way I believe it's kind of worked out lately is if you're a division winner, you're normally one of the top three seeds anyways, right?
Pretty much.
So.
I don't know. I went to see the Harlem Globetrotters, I think, twice when I was growing up. And I'm starting to wonder if that's what the NBA is without all the trick plays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, pretty much, you know. So it's just an odd sideshow of, you know, guys not playing defense. So
yeah. But, you know, going back to that tournament, I mean, it's a cool idea. I think, you know, you could do it over 3 days or whatever. But and at the end of the day, what the hell is the purpose? So let's just say the 10th team beats the 9 and then ends up winning and takes the 8th spot. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So let's just say they did that this year. So now you would have, you know, the Cavaliers playing what? The Bulls? And then, you know.
Well, here, I will.
I don't remember off the top of my head who's where.
Just so we can. So we can get it. We can get it just right. I will set it up just perfectly for you, because you know that's what you and I like. All right, the play-in games right now, Dan, would have the Philadelphia 76ers as the 7th seed hosting the Miami Heat as the 8th seed. Then the Detroit Pistons as the 9th seed would host the Charlotte Hornets as the 10th seed. Now, interestingly, Dan, Charlotte would make the playoffs being 9 games under 500. So, yeah, say they get lucky and they beat Detroit, and then they turn around and they beat, say, just for sake of it, Miami loses to Philadelphia. Charlotte goes in as the 8th seed to play the number 1 seed right now, which is the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, okay.
So the Hornets have played 2 extra games to get in to go on to face the number 1 seed, where in reality they'll probably just be swept out for a game. Right? Yeah. So, you know, and I know what everybody's going to say. Well, you know, what about the Western Conference? It's so much better. Okay, well, in the Western Conference, the Portland Trailblazers are 7. They would host the New Orleans Hornets, who are the 8th seed. The Clippers are the 9th seed. They would host the Jazz as the 10th seed. Now, the Jazz and the Clippers have identical records. So let's say one of them managed to grab the 8th seed. Do you really believe that they're going to go into Houston and beat the Rockets in a 7-game series after having to play 2 additional games? Does anybody in their right mind believe that is actually possible of happening?
No.
You know, maybe, right. Maybe if it was the old style best of 3, you know, they could get lucky and maybe catch fire and steal a couple games. But, you know, these longer series, these teams aren't winning it. You know, that 8th seed isn't beating the 1 seed unless there's a drastic injury to the number 1 seed's best player, or in this case, with the way these teams are built, best players. So, you know, I mean, all it does is, you know, out of the 30 teams in your league, technically 20 of them are now playoff teams.
Well, why not just make everyone in the playoffs?
Right. Yeah, you know, I mean, why don't we just have everything as a playoff team and, you know, the 1 seed plays the 15 seed, or maybe the 1 seed gets a bye to even it out, And then, you know, two plays 15, three plays 14, and so on down the list. And, you know, a single elimination game, make it really exciting. See if you can steal an upset and that 15 can beat the two. You know, and then they can move on to a seven-game series against the number one and get wiped out in four games. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just...
Second round would be horse.
Okay. Well, that would probably be better. So, you know, and then if the game ends in a tie, you don't go to overtime. You go to a three-point shooting contest because that's all the teams do anyways. So...
You know, you actually might have something there with that one.
So that would be perfect. You know, I don't know how much better it could get than that.
Yeah, I'll be back in 2-3 minutes.
Oh. Dan will be back in 2 and 2. If you remember the old commercials from the Love Connection, they used to go, I'll be back in 2 and 2. But yeah, you know, getting back to this, you know, LeBron thing, what this brought up was a lot of questions on, you know, if LeBron was going to re-sign with the Cavs, did this mean he wants to stay in the Eastern Conference? You know, because obviously, you know, they think it's an easier road. It should be a little tougher this year, you know. The Celtics are a good team, even though I know there are a lot of people who are down on them right now. But, you know, the Celtics are a good team. And the Raptors, you know, the Raptors have always been a really good regular season team just for whatever reason. You know, they can't seem to put it together in the playoffs. You know, it's just been one of those weird things. I believe they were upset by Milwaukee in the first round last year. You know, now, you know, they would have a little bit of an easier road facing the eighth seed. But, you know, again, a seven-game series, the better team normally wins out. It's rare to get a seven-game upset because it's hard for that lesser team or however you would want to look at it, you know, to kind of pop up and, you know, just do it four times, I guess, is the thing. You know, like I was saying, when the series used to be best of three, it was a little tougher to get upsets then. But, you know, they could happen. Not so much the 1-8, because for whatever reason, there's just very few. I think, what has there been, like 1-8 seed that actually popped up and beat a 1 when Mutombo was a, what was he? He was a Nugget. I think he was a Denver Nugget. I don't remember who they beat, but I remember him laying on the floor with the basketball. That, you know, the one thing I you know, met there. So, you know, just kind of never seems to work out that way. But, you know, yeah, I was really interested by the LeBron comments, where it was kind of like, hey, okay, you know, him kind of stepping up and not liking this, you know, it makes you really wonder, you know, does he realize how easy he's had it all these years where, you know, there haven't really been any challengers to him in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you know, there've been some, you know, some good teams, but not really great teams. You know, and so, yeah, you just kind of, you know, it's just kind of, you know, you got to kind of question yourself, what's he thinking? You know, is he protecting a legacy? You know, just to kind of see how, you know, how he does or how, you know, how it works out. But I don't know, you know, what to really think of it or what to make of it. Because, you know, all the rumors have been that he's signing, you know, with a Western Conference team. He's either signing with the Lakers or he's signing with the Rockets or, you know, what were some of the other odd ones. I know somebody even mentioned the Warriors. So, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those goofy things that, you know, that go on. But, you know, we'll have to see. I just, I don't know. you know, I don't know what to really make of it. As you can tell, I'm trying to do two things at once here, which I'm just fantastically talented at. So, but yeah, I mean, does that make it seem shady? Yeah, I mean, would that be a way to look at it? Or, you know, how, I'd love to know how, you know, you guys look at it or any of that other fun stuff, but yeah, it seemed just a tad strange that he kind of came out against this when it's as though, you know, everybody's been on board with it, and it's been a one of the contentious things in the NBA for how long, you know. Oh, well, you know, the Western Conference is so much better. We need to, you know, it needs to be the best 16 teams, no matter who's what or however it works out. And, you know, and of all the guys to come out against it, you know, it's LeBron. So, yeah, it does kind of make you wonder.
Does that kind of hint to us that he's not going to be headed out west next year?
Yeah, well, you know, that's what everybody's reading into it now, is that, you know, he's going to stay in Cleveland, or, you know, there were the talk about, you know, well, he needs to go to Philadelphia. You know, there was some talk about that and join, you know, the young guys there. So, you know, it does seem to lean that way, that maybe that's where he's going.
I don't really see that. I mean, I can't remember who said it. Someone said it somewhere sometime, obviously. But that he's never had a team really built around him. So it would be interesting to see them sell off all their quote assets on the Cavaliers and build a team around them that would win. But I don't know how you would do that. I mean, 76ers, I don't see it. I mean, why not go play in Detroit and play with Blake Griffin? I think that would be more fun.
Well, you know, the Sixers have, you know, all the young guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's the big attraction there. And, you know, they are finally improving. The odd that you have to wonder what goes on is, you know, say that is his decision and he signs with the 76ers. There's absolutely no need for them to keep Ben Simmons, because all in all, they're the same player. LeBron has just been doing it longer. So.
Yeah, but who's going to play when LeBron needs his days off?
Yeah, you can always, you know, plug in, you know, whoever or whatever at that point. But yeah, you know, it's just kind of humorous that it's like, well, you know, do you put Ben Simmons on the trade block, you know, trading block then? You know, does he become trade bait? Because, you know, there'd be a lot of teams interested. Granted, he's a terrible shooter so far, but, you know, he can handle the ball, and he's a, you know, big guy who can rebound. That, you know, as a point guard, that's always a huge plus. But, yeah, you know, it just, there's a lot of weird questions that go, you know, go along with that kind of stuff, because, you know, or who knows, maybe he does decide that Cleveland's where he wants to stay, you know, and he'll sign that big one-year contract again, or maybe he'll do the two-year deal again. You know, I mean, it's really to the point where I've decided he just enjoys the attention of everybody continually talking about him. So instead of signing the longer-term deal like a lot of these guys do, he just takes the short deal so we can talk about him all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I guess it's not a terrible strategy, but, you know, I mean, it just gets, you know, it gets a little sickening when you know, it's just kind of everything is, oh, great. You know, what's this guy doing now? Or, you know, what's this or what's that? I mean, good Lord, let's talk about somebody else. You know, I mean, at least today we got the Kawhi Leonard pulling the Derrick Rose, where the team said he's fine to play, and he says he's not, so he's going to sit out the rest of the year.
Well, that's, the team has to say that so then they can collect the insurance. Or, you know, not collect the insurance, but the insurance has to pay his contract. You know, but kind of going back to all the talk about LeBron, doesn't it also have to do with the fact that the NBA has plugged him as the face of the league, essentially? I mean, I'm surprised they haven't changed the logo to him yet. Because I know there's been talks about getting a new NBA guy logo. And then the fact that ESPN pretty much dominates and they're, you know, in partnership with the NBA. So isn't that why we spend so much talking about him and asking him opinion on every single thing that happens, be it on the court or in the White House or, you know, to the Olympics? I'm surprised he hasn't gotten any Olympic curling questions yet.
So, yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network spent all that money on the league, and, you know, he was, you know, him and Steph were their choices. You know, these are the two guys we're going to take, and we're going to push these guys, you know, no matter what. You know, that was going to be their plan. So that's what we get. It's all their money invested. So, you know, they can do, you know, what they want to do with it. So, you know, that's what we've got to eat. If, you know, if you watch it, you know, if that's the stuff you're watching or however it goes. So, you know, we just got to kind of live with it. But
yeah, but I know you love Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. And do you have to have a middle initial to work on that show? Or pronounce
no, because Max Kellerman is the other guy, and he doesn't. So.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's okay there. But, yeah, you know, you just got to be, you know, I mean, in reality, I mean, there's no reason you and I can't do that show because you just got to be a blowhard. You know, you don't need any real credibility. I don't even know if either guy has a degree. I'm sure they do. But, you got to be a yeller or a screamer.
Well, yeah, and it seems like nationally, that's what they want. They talk about the yelling guy. We actually knew the yelling guy, but, you know, sadly he passed away. And he was really cool when he was drunk, but he was a jerk when he was sober. That's another story, but you know, it's on the weekends on the CBS local CBS sports radio stations. I mean, the guys who are syndicated all yell.
Yeah.
They don't really, you know, it's they, and you can't disagree with them, and that just gets them even more heat.
Oh God, no. Yeah.
And you know, and you brought up, and I don't even remember that guy's name, but. The yelling guy on MLB Network. I watched like 10 minutes of it. And I'm like, so this is what they pumped for, you know, the amount of time they advertised for it. I'm like, this guy doesn't even really seem like he cares about the game more than he cares about himself.
Well, that's how you do it, right? You
know?
You care more about you than you, you know. So, but yeah, it is humorous, you know, listening to those. You know, those yutzes, and it's just kind of like, wait, why are you here? You know, you're doing this. Why? I mean, you're not really saying anything.
Well, it's almost like you have to be more bullheaded and not just drinking the Kool-Aid, but, you know, having it injected into you or IV'd into you.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with yelling. I mean, you want to yell, that's great, but you know, eventually you gotta make a point. You know, I'm not quite sure if these guys ever, you know, make points or take sides or, you know, how things kind of go. It's like, okay, well, what do you know? Okay, we're talking about this, but. In reality, what does it mean? You know, did you say anything, or did you just ramble for 5 minutes?
Well, see, but that's the thing. You can't take a side. You can't make a point, because if someone calls you out on it, then you have to justify that, and you know, there's no room for that.
No, well, you know, and I mean, I learned that. I mean, you know, I, you know, listening to Sirius Radio, you know, I told the story many times. I listened to the fantasy experts the 1 year we did fantasy football, and I took all their advice and I used their draft advice, and I had one of the worst years I ever had. And then when people started calling them out on some of the picks they made, they were like, what are you talking about? We never said that. Well, yeah, you did. We were listening. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the local broadcasters, former Bear. I kind of called him out on Twitter because I was tweeting him and listening to him on the radio station, and it was during the break. We were kind of going back and forth, nothing too heated, and they came back from break, and I mean, you should have heard the crabby, negative, old, grumpy old man come out of them. And it was because of me. You know, it was the good old Jordan LeBron topic, which, you know, it's always going to ruffle some feathers, but I didn't really even get that upset about it, or I just kind of laid out the truth. It's really no comparison. And, you know, even being a Chicago guy, he was like, oh, it's, you know, coming back on air, oh, some of these people, these Jordan guys, he was getting so upset about it. I mean, I get it. You're from, you know, Cincinnati or Ohio or whatever.
But, yeah.
I forgot about the connection right there. Cleveland, Cincinnati, Ohio. I know they're not that close, but they're close enough, right?
Well, you know, it's not like Cincinnati has a basketball team.
That's true.
So yeah, you know, they're going to, they're gonna go, you know, they're gonna root for the closest one then, or the winning one. You know, you can always jump on the winning bandwagon.
Well, that's easier.
So, you know, I mean, I understand why kids do that. I've always been kind of baffled on why adults do that, but it's like, oh no, I root for this team now because they win. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Well, you know, and sometimes,
you know,
kids just take the popular side. You know, my nephew was a Kevin Durant guy his entire time in Oklahoma, and then he was traded, or, you know, he went to Golden State. My nephew's like, nah, that's, I forget, you know, I don't remember the term they use now, but, you know, he should have stayed, and like, but yeah, now he's winning championships. I don't know.
Well, you know, like,
can never,
you know,
figure them
when
out.
I grew up, everybody was a Cowboy fan or a Steeler fan or a Raider fan, while I was rooting for the Bears because that's what I was taught to do. And, you know, they just kind of went with the team that was winning. You know, that's just what, you know, kids do. All right, well, look at that. It means it's time for Dan and I to leave. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to wrap up the week. You know what to do, folks. SummerAdvice.com. Check out the blog that went up yesterday. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. We have no issue with that. As always, big thanks for coming on and listening to us live. It's super cool when you do that. But don't forget that the podcast is also available for you to listen to anytime you want over at tunein.com.
Yeah, I was a Chiefs fan because my friend was a Raiders fan. Of course, I'm a good one.